When Gary must have thought she was dreaming, the girl came through in a car ride. Those in the vehicle with her suddenly saw slow tears running down her cheeks. At first, they did not understand what was going on. The Wangari they knew had been through so much for her to cry over a phone call. But why was Wangari crying? Wait, who is Wangari to even begin with? What was the call she received and why did it make her cry? Hello Jamit fam, welcome to another episode of Long Story Short, and I'm your host, Liwa. Our story today flips to the pages of Wangari Muta Maathai, who is considered the tree mother of Africa. As always, take a seat and grab a coffee, cause it's story time. Wangari was a woman of firsts, and this did not just turn up in her adult life. She had been a stellar student from primary school all the way to her undergraduate and even graduate years. From Kenya to the United States and even in Germany, she showed the stuff she was made of, despite everything. Wangari's first venture into activism started while she was a lecturer at the University of Nairobi in Kenya. There, she became a senior lecturer in anatomy, also the chair of the Department of Veterinary Anatomy, and an associate professor. She campaigned for equal benefits for women working on the staff of the university. Wangari went as far as trying to turn the university's academic staff association into a union, just so they could negotiate benefits. And when the matter got to court, they did not rule in her favor. In the 70s, Wangari was an active member of different civic organizations in Kenya, where she headed some. And when the Environment Liaison Center was established through the United Nations Environment Program, Wangari was asked to be a member of the local board in Kenya, which she later became the board chair. While working in these organizations as a volunteer, Wangari discovered that the root of most of Kenya's problems was not just poverty, or ethnic differences, or even education. It was simply environmental degradation. But how could she solve this problem? When Gary's husband, Mwangi Maathai, ran for a parliamentary seat for a second time after he narrowly lost in his first try shortly after their marriage, one of his campaign promises was to create jobs that will reduce the rising unemployment rate in Kenya. The funny thing is, this was in the 70s. Have there been any changes in Africa since then? Let's get back to our story. Wangari's idealistic mind quickly connected her ideas of environmental restoration to providing jobs for the unemployed. This led to the founding of EnviroCare Limited. EnviroCare Limited was a simple, small business, and the goal was also simple. It was to plant trees to conserve the environment, and it will involve ordinary people in the community. As much as the business tried to survive, it still crashed due to financial constraints. But this did not deter her from her goals. When Gary got the opportunity to attend the UN Habitat 1 in Vancouver, Canada, when she returned, she discussed and encouraged further tree planting exercises to the National Council of Women of Kenya, that is, the NCWK, in order to promote our environmental protection ideas. On World Environmental Day in 1977, Wangari and members of the NCWK planted 7 trees at the Kamukunji Park in Nairobi. This was to honor historical community leaders. And this marked the beginning of the Green Belt Movement. At the tree planting exercise, she took the opportunity to encourage Kenyan women to find seeds in the forest and plant tree nurseries that will contain seedlings of trees native to their areas, while agreeing to pay the woman who planted a stipend for each seedling that was replanted elsewhere. These had tremendous impact and created an alternate source of income for many farmers who were majorly women at that time. People who seek the emancipation of themselves and their fellow humans do not lie about daydreaming. They go through challenges that shape their lives entirely. And Wangari was not an exception. Wangi, Wangari's husband, decided to file for a divorce after a lengthy separation between the two. What were his reasons? He claimed Wangari was too strong-minded for a woman and that he was unable to control her. He went as far as publicly accusing her of having an affair with a member of parliament, claiming that it was the cause of his high blood pressure. The court ruled in favor of Mwangi. But for Wangari, she was sentenced to a 6-month jail term for contempt of court. Fortunately for her though, she only spent 3 days in prison. After the divorce, Wangari explored different opportunities which she found with the Economic Commission for Africa through the United Nations Development Programme. After that, she contested for the position of the chairperson of the NCWK. She faced much opposition from the Kenyan government, who saw her as a threat, and lost the election by 3 votes. The parliament seat representing her home region became vacant in 1983, and Wangari decided to vie for the seat. According to the law, she was required to resign her job with the University of Nairobi if she wanted to contest for office, and that she did. But her hopes were dashed when the court ruled that she was ineligible to contest because she had not re-registered to vote in the last presidential election, which took place in 1979. With no job, no home, and no clear source of income, Wangari moved into a small house she had bought a while back and decided to focus on the NCWK and the Green Belt movement. Pressure from the government, who demanded that the duties of the NCWK and the Green Belt movement be separate, made Wangari resign from the NCWK so she could focus on the Green Belt movement. The Green Belt movement under Wangari went above its call of protecting the environment to demand for constitutional reforms from an oppressive government. It even went further to register voters for election in spite of electoral malpractices. But aside this, they provided a means of steady income for farmers and also employment opportunities. If you think about Hyde Park in London and Central Park in New York, the Uhuru Park was a significant part of Nairobi's ecosystem. But the Kenyan government of that time had other plans for it. They wanted to build a gigantic complex that would have offices, recreational centers, hotel rooms, and different things that might entice anyone who had little or no care for the environment. Building the complex will have serious negative impact on the city. When Wangari heard of this, she immediately took action by writing to local and international organizations in order to stop the president from going ahead with construction. Just imagine, the complex was to have the statue of the authoritarian president. Wangari was having none of it. She went to the country's high court to get an injunction that would stop the construction, but was denied. Wangari soon found out that her name was on a list of people targeted for assassination, sponsored by the government. So she went home and barricaded herself in her house. The police came and laid siege on her house for 3 days before they cut through her barricade and arrested her. She and others who were arrested were charged with treason, sedition, and spreading malicious rumors, all because she tried to stop the construction of a building complex at the site of a park. Fortunately, she only spent a day and a half in prison before she was released on bail. While on bail, Wangari and others took to the same Uhuru Park that was marked for construction to protest the incarceration of political prisoners. Most of the protesters were women and mothers of those in prison. They embarked on a hunger strike for 4 days until they were forcefully removed by the police. During the squabble, Wangari and 3 others were knocked unconscious and were hospitalized. The president even called her a mad woman and told her to act more like an African woman. The site the woman protested is known as Freedom Corner. With the protests turning violent, the United States expressed its concerns and put pressure on the Kenyan government until they dropped all the charges against Wangari and the protesters. After leaving the hospital, she continued to protest until all the political prisoners were released. Also, construction at the Uhuru Park was cancelled. Through her activism, Wangari was at the forefront of the struggle for a democratic Kenya. She earned recognitions from international organizations who valued the work she did for her country. Through the Green Belt Movement, Wangari is credited to have planted 50 million trees, both directly and indirectly. In 2004, Wangari became the first African woman to win a Nobel Peace Prize for her contributions to the environment and her pro-democracy activism. That was the call she got that made her shed a tear. Wherever you are in Africa, when next you sit under a tree, try to reminisce the contributions Wangari Maathai made in promoting a conducive environment that will not only support humans, but also preserve life.
Care to share your thoughts about this episode? Leave a review or your suggestions on our platform or on iTunes. Join me on the next episode of Long Story Short on Jamit FM. I have been your host, Liwa.
Long Story Short was produced by Liwa and Ikorizu. This episode was edited, mixed and mastered by Ikorizu. Long Story Short is a production of Jamit Media.